Welcome back to the Prep Rally podcast. The results are in from the state championships, so we're going to get into that.
All good things come to an end, Sydney, and basketball season has come to an end in the state of Arkansas. And we've got Leland Barclay, as always, join us from the River Valley, and we're going to get into some of that. I'm Graham Thomas, by the way. I forgot to introduce myself. I apologize.
And I'm Sydney Ruth.
We just got right into it. We weren't even going for the intros today.
No, I feel like people would know it by now.
Well, and our name is like right.
Yeah, so really there. No need.
No, I can't. There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So Leland, state champions, we've got a bunch of them to discuss this week, and we'll start with the three teams from Northwest Arkansas that advanced to the state championship games in Hot Springs. First and foremost, we'll go with the Farmington Lady Cardinals. What a ride it's been this season. Mm-hmm. The girls completed the four-peat with a 74-39 win against Mountain Home. And
yeah,
I watched. Mm-hmm. Our guy Josh was there, and he did a great job of sending in some stuff to you guys that y'all put on social media. But I was watching mm-hmm. at home, and it was tight early. But boy, that Farmington dominance just sort of took over.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I was surprised. When Farmington's on, they're on. They did have some close games during the tournament week, but like I said, it's just when they're on point, they destroy who's in their path by 30, 40 points.
Well, and to no surprise, it was once again Easton McCullough, who is the most valuable player of the state tournament. She had 32 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. She went 7 of 12 from behind the three-point line, mm-hmm. but she had some help. Sadie Morrison, 12 points, 8 rebounds. Freshman Reed Shiree. We're going to hear a lot about Reed as we, you know, get into softball season and throughout the, you know, the rest of her career. Mm-hmm. She had 11 points. Josie Dillard had 10. So it wasn't just a one-person show for sure. Leland, you got some incredible numbers on Easton McCullough. I don't remember if you have that handy with you, but that was quite impressive, the resume she has already put together.
Yeah, she's just a sophomore, and of course, you know, we'll be, you know, recapping basketball season. We'll coming up in April. We'll be, you know, announcing and publicizing all of our players of the year and our MVPs and all that stuff. And so it was nice to put that stuff together. The 151 points that she scored in the four state tournament games broke. And tell me if you've heard this name before, broke the previous record of most points scored by a girls player in the state tournament was
wow.
135 points over four games. And of course, McCullough just obliterated that. But Shakina Strickland held the previous record of 135 points scored in four games. You know, she had a great career too. So to break that record, it was really no surprise, obviously starting off the state tournament with 54 points, against Batesville in the first round. That's the third most ever scored in a girls state tournament game as far as the 5-on-5 era, which began in the 79-80 season.
Well, and to point those 54 points out, though, we were at that game, and it was funny because Coach McCullough sat her out. It's not that she couldn't have broken the state record for that singular game. I think Coach was like, you know, you're only a sophomore. We're going to give you some rest. Let some other girls play. So she could have, but Coach sat her out before she could.
Well, and that's an excellent point. She's just a sophomore, so she's going to be putting up, you know, some of these numbers for another 2 years. And Graham, you talked about having players around her. She's had players all around her all season, obviously, but in the state championship game, 7 assists. Mm-hmm. Players don't get 7 assists in a state championship game without players on the other end finishing those baskets, and that's what they've had all year. It was interesting going into the year because when they won it last year, she was a freshman. she was surrounded by four seniors. So she didn't have to be the star. She didn't have to put up 54 points in a single game because she had four seniors around her. So I was very interested, and I think we were all kind of interested to see how she would perform coming back this year as the only returning starter and really the only returning player with any experience and a new coach. Now, she does live with that new coach, so that transition wasn't much of a problem. But, man, these other players, it was, you know, it might be an overused statement, but I don't think that they do what they've done. And they've now won 100 and I guess it's 113 straight games against in-state opponents. That doesn't happen with one player. So, obviously, it was a team effort and a very good team effort capped with a fourth straight state championship.
I mean, I agree with that statement. We were also at the last game of the tournament, before they went to state. And I think they were against Green Tech.
Green County Tech.
Green County Tech. And Farmington doesn't win that game without Sadie Morrison. I think she had like seven steals in like 5 minutes. Like it was crazy. What I'm saying is, defense overcame that game to win.
They're a well-rounded basketball team. Yeah. And one thing you kind of hinted at it, Leland, but yes, it was a first-year coach with Jessica McCullough. But and something that I've read it over and over again this year, but it just never really hit home until recently. But she was these girls' junior high coach too, so she knew these kids and they knew her, and there was a very smooth transition there, and she was a heck of a player too back in the day at Farmington. So
absolutely, yeah, Jessica Carter, she was a very good player as well, and like you said, coached them in junior high, and I don't think that people really give Mountain Home the credit that they deserve either. Farmington beat a very, very good team, the second best team, I think, far and away in the state in Class 5A in Mountain Home. Mountain Home started five seniors this year, three of which were three-year starters that combined for around 3,700 points in their career. This was a very good team that Farmington beat for a third time this season. So I think people kind of discard this season or maybe overlook the fact that they beat some very good teams. And like you said, they beat Green County Tech, a very good team in the state tournament.
Beat Little Rock Christian too. And that was, you know, that was a great matchup with her and Whitley Rogers. So
absolutely. So it's, if there was a fault by the Lady Cardinals, might be that they made it look too easy.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I would say kudos to the Farmington student section because they showed up and they showed out for those girls' games. And boy, did I tell you, that was the most ruthless student section I've seen. Like they would pick out a victim from the other team and they'd get a whale's a boo anytime they had the ball. Like it was crazy how dedicated these students were to just getting at the other team. But again, props to those students, because that was awesome to see that big turnout at a girls' game.
Big congratulations to the Springdale Harbor Lady Wildcats. They came up short on Saturday with a 46-40 loss to North Little Rock. Finished the season 28-5. They went 16-0 in the 6A West. We don't think that's ever been done ever since the league moved to a 16-game schedule. Had a great season. Now, let me tell you now, they were down 21-10 at halftime. And, you know, Harbor, if you've seen them play, and I know you guys have, they just don't score 10 points in a half or a quarter for that matter. They're usually around, you know, 20 or 30 points after a quarter. And so for them to be down 21-10 at halftime was probably a bit of a shock to the system. They came out in the second half and made it very, very interesting.
I mean, I could tell you what I think of the system, but I think you already know. They played a Little Rock team, right?
North Little Rock, yes.
Yeah. Personally, anytime we play, no diss to the Little Rock teams, but I just think the system is all kind of whack. I think some of the best teams are up in NWA, and they play each other every week. It's a hard schedule, And then you get these Little Rock teams who are also a part of our conference, and then they meet up. It's almost it's almost like it feels like they get kind of a break the whole time. Truthfully, it feels like they're getting a break this entire time. They go against, you know, the two, three other teams that are good up in their area. And then, you know, they play us during the state. Like, I just don't get it. I think you should be playing all the teams up here consistently the whole season out.
Well, make no mistake about it. The North Little Rock Charging Lady Wildcats were an outstanding team. They were, Leland, they were big. I mean, they were about, they had about 3 6-footers on the floor. A lot of them are freshmen. It's kind of scary. Coach Daryl Fimple, Fimp Dog, as Henry calls him. He's a fun guy to visit with, and his team played really well and beat a really good Harbor team.
Absolutely, Coach Fimple, of course, from the Alma Bottoms.
They're Crawford, not called that.
From the Alma Bottoms, you know, down around the Kibler area and the bottoms of. You know, Crawford County.
There's two. Are we talking about the same Alma here? This is a different Alma.
Nope, same Alma. He played in. He played on the 1992 state championship in the state championship game for the Airedales in the freezing rain.
That's what I thought.
In the sleet. He was, of course, he was a good basketball player too, but he played for Frank.
They've always been the Airedale. What are you talking about? The bottoms. What does this have to do with a bottom?
this is like the neighborhood.
That would be the area close to the. That would be the Arkansas River bottoms, close to Alma. And I think a couple of things about that game. You know, this was a game between, and we don't always see this. This was the top two seeds going at each other. North Little Rock was 12-0 in the 6A Central. Harbor was 16-0. So these were the best two teams in the, obviously, in their two conferences. North Little Rock, 8 of 22 shooting in the first half, not great, but 3 of 23 by Harbor in the first half shooting. But they did outscore North Little Rock 30-25 in the second half. It just wasn't enough to overcome that first half deficit for Harbor. But still a fantastic season. It was the best two teams in Class 6A that went at it.
You know, if Harbor gets off to a better start, you know, maybe we're talking about a different result. Sanaya Coachman, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 5 steals. Madison Campbell, 13 points, 8 rebounds. You know, sometimes it just doesn't go your way at the end. What a great season for Harbor. And, you know, the good news? They'll be back. Every one of those kids that they got is back. And they will, you know, and they've had this experience. It's the first time Harbor's ever made the state title game for girls basketball.
Well, so, you say that too, but it looks like it's the same for North Little Rock as
So it
could be a matchup of the same exact starting. So
and it is
year.
Not easy to win a state championship.
Nope.
In Class 4A on Friday night, the Pea Ridge Lady Blackhawks, they were defeated 56-43 against Pulaski Academy. McKenna Ward had 16 points, 7 rebounds. Jazzy Dixon, 10 points. They finished 25-13 as a 4 seed, making it all the way to the finals. Now, we've said before, they were not a true 4 seed, even though they were a 4 seed. They kind of got robbed along the way to end up in that spot. But you know, Pea Ridge, they were playing pretty good, and PA went on a run to kind of get a sizable lead and just kind of led the rest of the way. Again, great season for Coach Heath Neal's Pea Ridge Lady Blackhawks. And that PA team, Leland, the more digging I did into that, you know, they were kind of unfinished business kind of a team, because they had been to the state finals the year before and lost to DeQueen. So, you know, who's to say next year it will be one of these other teams with the unfinished business?
Wait, there's a school called DeQueen?
DeQueen, two words.
Queen. Well, and I think the thing that stands out about Pea Ridge, how about McKenna Ward, 16 points, 14 rebounds. Tremendous effort by her. For the Pea Ridge, obviously.
Yes. And you know, and you were able to go down, Leland, and watch, I believe, the 2A girls, and I think you had some notes on some of these other games you wanted to highlight.
Well, I think it's just, you know, it's a great atmosphere. It's three, you know, it's, you know, obviously 12 games spread out over 3 days, and it's just, it's a great atmosphere. Again, I think it's another telling tale of the state tournament or the state championship games is it's hard for teams that rely on jump shot shooting teams to go into Bank OZK with that huge backdrop and mm-hmm. shoot a high percentage. And I think part of that was obviously evident in Harbor's game due to the slow start by the Lady Wildcats. And Graham, how about Bryant winning basketball and football back-to-back, second straight year? I mean, who would have thought that Bryant would be the capital of the state's largest classification in basketball and football? I mean, we've seen it for a while in football.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to win back-to-back in basketball, when we're talking about schools like Little Rock Central, that's won more state championships in basketball than any other team. They've won 20 over the years, which is 30, which is more than any other school has produced. You know, we're talking about Hall and Parkview and just the tremendous, and they're not in the state sports classification anymore, but still talking about basketball in Central Arkansas, and Bryant is at the top. And, how about this, too? Mason Abrahamson scored 20 points for Bryant, coach's kid. And I think there were how many teams that had coach's kids win state championships this year?
A dear friend told me there were four. So
okay, wow. I mean, of course, obviously McCullough and then Abrahamson. Yeah, so four kids won state championships or sibling coach set up. So just you know, a lot of fun stuff that went on over the 3 days.
The
Osceola 55-51 and 4A, you know, 4A or 3A was one of those that I thought was maybe the most wide open of all of them, because you know, Subiaco Academy was ranked number one all year, or most of the year. And Osceola ended up winning 3A with a 55-51 win over Newport. The Barton boys, maybe one of the more controversial.
Is that the one that got into a fight?
Yeah, they
after the fight.
Gosh,
and you know, everybody's
crazy.
Saying, oh, they had five players suspended. Only one of their top seven players was suspended. They had one starter that did not start. Four of the five starters started in the game on Friday, or I guess on Thursday.
I mean, we watched
their main two players off the bench were still on the court. So, okay, yes, they had five players suspended from the game, but only one starter. And obviously, like we said in our text thread, obviously it didn't affect them much.
Well, they beat a team really badly that had beaten them previously. Mount Vernon Enola had beaten Barton, I think, once if not twice.
Before we go on to anything, I want to thank our sponsors for this show, West Termite. Take control of your pests with West, whether it's termites, mosquitoes, bed bugs, weeds, or lawn disease. West is the experience serving Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma since 2003. Book your free consultation online today at westtermite.com. After all, Wes knows pests best. When we come back, we'll go ahead and look at the upcoming matchups for this spring. This is Prep Rally. Welcome back to Prep Rally. We're going to go ahead and look at some of our spring coverage. Starting with baseball.
You're going to go cover it all, aren't you?
No, dear. I don't know about that.
Be sure and bring a coat with you, because when the sun goes down, you may be comfortable when the sun's out, but when it drops, it gets chilly. Well, you know, basketball season is over, and we are moving on into the spring coverage. And, you know, in Arkansas, that means baseball, softball, boys and girls soccer, and track and field. And, you know, I think, Leland, correct me if I'm wrong, but we do a pretty good job of covering just about all those things. We really try to give each and every one of these sports, you know, what they deserve. And that means a lot of late nights, a lot of cold nights out at the baseball field or the soccer pitch. And so we'll just kind of get into it, kind of what we're looking at. Just some highlights. Baseball, well, the Rogers Mounties are the defending state champions and the big heavy favorite in the 6A West. Leland, I don't think it's any stretch to say that. They're loaded.
Absolutely. They're the, you know, again, kind of like we talked about with Bryant rising to the top of the 6A Central in basketball and football. Rogers has kind of become that school, that team in baseball. And, you know, I look forward to seeing them this year. The 6A West continues on the Monday-Tuesday format. So we get to see a lot of those teams. One of them's at home. You know, they do the two-day home and away series, which I love. I think that's fantastic. The 5A West, for the third time in 3 years this year, has gone to a different format in their conference games. They're going Tuesday-Friday, which I think is just ridiculous. Because we're going to see a lot of the same pitching matchups. They got away from the either doubleheaders on Tuesday that they used to play, or last year they did the same Monday, Tuesday home and away formats as the 6A West. So I hate the fact that it's on Tuesday and Friday, although it may allow me to see a few more. And wow, what a blockbuster pitching matchup we'll get Tuesday at Van Buren. With, you know, Newberry from Russellville going against Weston Wilcox of Van Buren. So we look forward to the 5A West and, of course, seeing all the others. It's kind of funny, Graham, that in the coverage that we do for the Spring Storch, you know, we all take kind of turns in basketball watching different teams. In football, we kind of take turns watching different teams. During the spring, we kind of migrate to our favorite sports. So I'm on baseball mostly. Harold's on softball and soccer mostly, although I'll get to see, you know, I'll see some softball too.
Hey, but we thought you loved soccer. Remember, we got you a shirt too. You going to wear it?
Well, you know, I've looked at the baseball schedule and it looks like I'm going to be covering so much baseball that I may not have time for much soccer.
Then how are you going to wear your shirt? We literally got you a shirt because you love soccer so much.
Oh, well, actually I've replaced that. Actually, I replaced the soccer with baseball on that shirt.
No, you didn't.
Hey, that 5A, there's a great, you know, you mentioned the Russellville-Van Buren matchup, but there's going to be a great race for those four playoff spots in that league in the 5A West with Van Buren, Greenwood, Alma, Russellville, Farmington, Harrison usually has a good team. Those are all going to be, it's going to be a great race down the stretch to see if the top four that gets in.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, you know, so much of baseball is predicated on pitching, and there'll be some great pitching matchups this year. And, you know, Greenwood and Van Buren has already played Tuesday, Alma and Greenwood play. So we've already, you know, dived head first into the rivalry matchups. Mm-hmm. Northside and Southside will play after the spring break. So, you know, it's that time of the year, and it's, I think it's supposed to be 86 degrees.
How cold is it today?
On Friday. So it's going to be 60 degrees warmer on Friday afternoon than it was on Monday morning.
This is why I'll be sick, because
I'm too stubborn to get sick.
Softball, it's Bentonville. Can anyone beat Bentonville, Sydney?
Yeah.
Wow. We'll see.
Well, you knew.
My question would be who?
The Razorbacks? Maybe,
hey, maybe the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, or Missouri.
Hey.
Oklahoma's off to a record-breaking pace-hitting home run, so maybe they would be able to beat Bentonville. Maybe.
Plug here. Our crew of ladies here did a great job on their piece on the Bentonville softball program last year. Mm-hmm. It's the same kids. You know, it's pitcher Darby Burnett and the
Shoot. Well, you got me not paying attention on our podcast. I didn't realize this was softball. I thought you were still talking about baseball. Can anyone beat Bentonville softball? I would say no.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're on fire. They're a really good team. I thought you were talking about baseball.
Here's the great part though. Everybody's going to be shooting to beat them, and they'll get everybody's best effort. So,
yeah,
they're kind of heads and tails above everybody else in the 6A West right now. But, you know, it's a long way to go.
Which, if you want to see how they practice and you want to see, you know, the behind the scenes, we have a Prep Rally road trip that we did with Bentonville softball last year where we got to know some of the players, some of the gals that are still there, actually. So go check that out on our YouTube page for the Democrat Gazette.
Speaking of Bentonville, it's like a broken record. But in girls soccer, I believe they're going for their fourth consecutive state championship.
Wow.
But it's a wide open race in the girls. They lost a lot of players from last year. And the same can be said for the boys' 6A West soccer race. Leland, I saw Northside was kind of making some noise on the boys' front in soccer. They beat somebody. And I think it was the defending champion Rogers Heritage team. So, I mean,
they're off to a good start. Clarksville is always very good as well in soccer. They've appeared in some state championship games, and so we'll have all of that stuff. And you know, you mentioned the Democrat Gazette, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and the coverage. Be sure and go back and check Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's papers for full coverage of all of the state championship games. You know, nobody covers basketball in Arkansas like Eric Taylor does. And of course, he had a lot of stuff. He had a great preview in Thursday's paper. He has capsules of all the games each day. So it's, you know, that's well worth the time and effort to go back and check out that stuff. And we look forward to the spring stuff.
Well, I wanted to plug in too, since Leland mentioned it, but you can read all of our coverage on the NWA Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.com and the River Valley Democrat Gazette.com, as well as you can follow our socials on TikTok, on Instagram at Prep Rally Sports to get all this coverage, as well as in our stories. Graham, let me finish. We can see your finger up, okay? Anyways, or you can follow our Instagram, and we will post the link in our stories to what our writers write out in the field.
One quick mention here, because it was in my notes, and we're going to get through it, dadgummit. Track and field. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a team aspect, you know, that's one thing about track and field. But there are usually some great individual athletes. You know, they may not be on a great track team, but they may be a great individual track athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And we see so much of that, not only in the River Valley, but up here too. There are some great track athletes to go and watch this spring. Let me just give you a highlight of one of them from over the weekend. Marcus Mihan of Bentonville West set a meet record in the high jump at 6 feet, 9.75 inches in the pentathlon at the New Balance Indoor Nationals in Boston, Massachusetts. 6 feet, 9.75 inches, Sydney, in the high jump.
Where's he from?
Bentonville West.
Bentonville West.
So that's just one example of kind of the great moments you'll see. And I know Leland's a big track and field guy too. He enjoyed the James Lindley Quad Cities meet in Van Buren over the weekend. And we've got a bunch of big – there's a big track meet every week except for spring break. So it'll be an exciting track season.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like we have some late spring football as well.
Oh, so. Yes. It all kind of comes together right there at the end of April and May. And it's a good time.
Fair warning, no athlete out there will be unscathed from our social medias. We're coming for you. Just wanted to put
so
that
yeah,
out
we're
there.
we're excited. Spring sports, it's gonna be fun. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll do some fun stuff along the way to highlight on our prep rally show. The schedule is so just crazy though. And we were relying on the weather and all kinds of stuff. So
well, we'll embrace the craziness. And with that being said, we hope you enjoyed this basketball season podcast with Prep Rally. And we'll be back with more highlights and spotlights of spring sports. This is Prep Rally.